hearts. Sharp swords with handle art to spar trolls and charge tolls to cross roads where bandits are. Catacombs and giant doors protect the chest that stores some legendary items with the dragon bones and iron.
It's a grand theft of Elder Scrolls, Simon's Quest with Toe and Earl, rocket shoes to Everclue, Easter eggs and gaming news. The POTUS need some bad dudes to crash a crew like Bandicoot. All shit a gaming and glitch control issues. Control issues.
Yes, yes, y'all.
Yes, y'all. Yes, y'all.
Well, this is Control Issues. I am the MC.
And this is A-Dub. You can find us at control-issues.com. That dash is a hyphen. You can also catch us on your whoever your podcast provider may be. You can go there. You can get it. You can download it, subscribe to it, rate it, review it. Look for Control Issues. We're also on Spotify, so give us some spins over there. Let's see. Times are changing so fast. Shoot us an email, controlissuespod@gmail.com. We also have a new handle. Yes, your boys' Control Issues are over on Blue Sky. So, you know, we're getting everything up and running over there. So you'll see
they should have called it Greener Pastures.
Yeah, I haven't used it a lot or poked around, so I don't know how different the experiences are going to be. We can't just let a significant portion of our audience just migrate to a whole nother platform and not go as well. So we're on Blue Sky. We're still on X.
Still on X.
My Control Issues is the handle. We'll see how long that goes on. So with all that out the way, and without further ado, AMC, how you living?
Been well, A-Dubs. Been about 2 weeks. Took a break last week. Had a last-minute excursion over to Knott's Berry Farm with the family. We realized that our season passes were coming up soon, and they're doing the holiday event at Knott's, so we wanted to see that before we lost it, or we felt like we would have wasted the entire season pass. So yeah, we did that. Didn't get to record, but that's all right. It was a Thanksgiving week, so somewhat of a slow news week video game-wise because people are out with the family eating. Not much happens. There were some bombs that dropped around that time, but yeah, it was all right to take off a week to reconnect with loved ones. So that was cool. I recovered from my sickness. I was sick for the week before Thanksgiving, still sick around Thanksgiving. And then pretty much like a couple days ago, I just started like clearing up my chest. So that lingered for a while. I don't know what it was. I took a COVID test that came out negative, probably still got it anyways. But I don't know. I heard there's whooping cough going around, some other shit. So I got one of the things. But yeah, I'm doing good now. Thanksgiving went great, if you were wondering. Had great, a lot of good food.
You getting in them sandwiches?
Nah, no sandwiches. I just had leftovers. Yeah, I didn't do the sandwiches. I just had a lot of leftovers, but it was definitely a great experience. Yeah, as I said, a lot of cranberry sauce for me. That's been the mood lately. So really enjoyed that. Kids got to hang out. They're all good. Great seeing family. Talking with my uncle. You know, you get to see uncle like every now and then, and he just like wants to shoot the shit about football. I got another uncle so he's the one that he didn't introduce me to games because my mom bought like us the Nintendo, and that was like my introduction. But he introduced me to PC gaming as far as like so I'd always go to my cousin's house, and the uncle had the computer in the basement. And that's where we all hung out. And so every now and then we'd hop on the computer and play the games. And the games that he had were Doom 2, classic, and then Duke Nukem 3D.
Also with classic.
I think I just being kids playing that shit. Like, oh, that was everything. It was like not quite coming across like a porn collection, but it was like, oh, this is what video games are about on PC. It was something else.
I mean,
So, but
dude,
yeah.
when I found Leisure Suit Larry,
Yes.
was like, whoa, what's
Yeah.
happening? What is
I'm
happening to my mind and my body?
all about these point and click adventures. So I just talked to him for a little bit about gaming because I was just asking him because he had a PS4, and I didn't know if he had upgraded to a PS5. So I just asked him, I was like, what's up? Last time I talked to him about gaming, he had tried out Red Dead Redemption 2. And now, he's an old man, and he had some old man. What's funny is he had some old man thoughts which were very much in line with the sentiment at the time, which is like, oh, there's too much of the life sim stuff going on in the game. Like, I gotta pet my horse. And so he was complaining. He's like, I just want to go out, like ride my horse and like get in the gun shootouts. It's like there's just so much to do in the game, and so that like turned him off from Red Dead. And then I asked him, and then so I was asking him about, I was like, well, are you playing anything else? And he's like, to be honest, like I only play first person shooters, and I want just to be thrown into the action, which I proceeded to tell him about Doom and some other games. But I think he wants more of like the real life, like I guess Call of Duty style shooters, as opposed to fighting demons. But yeah, that's
Just
he's a
the
first person.
corridor shooters and
Yeah, exactly. He wants
the
to go
arena
back to those
shooters.
days. Yeah, I should have told him about like Wolfenstein 2, maybe. Maybe that would have been the game that he would have gotten into. But yeah, it was fun just chopping it up with him about video games. It's like there's an array. I have one cousin who's all about gaming, and then I got the uncle who's too old for gaming, but like still around it. We'll dive in every now and then when he finds an opportunity. I mean, the man is retired. If I was retired, that's all I would be doing. It's just
Yes.
gaming all the time. the dream. But yeah, so that was fun. Other than that, yeah, it's been pretty chill. Went mattress shopping this morning. That was,
Okay.
yeah, we're ready to upgrade. We were kind of debating because memory foam is what we so my old bed used to be a memory foam bed. We gave that to Theo. Marissa loves that bed, and so she was thinking about getting a memory foam bed, but then there was also, I guess, hybrid, which is like foam slash spring if you want that, that pushback. And so we were debating, we were leaning towards the hybrid, but then we tried out the memory foam at the mattress store, and they even did like a test on us where we got to lay on this machine bed, and it like calibrated our body weight and our curves
What?
and our
What?
pressure points to figure out what would be the right firmness for us. And initially we had gone in thinking that firm was the way to go because that's what Marissa was thinking, but actually ended up it was like, no, it's the opposite. You want soft, you want like a medium to soft. So
Yeah.
we at least know that. But it felt like we were just going to go look at beds, and it felt like we were dealing with a car salesman, like the way he was trying to upsell us. Like he's like, you could go this bed in a box, but I really go for this one. And the difference would be like thousands of dollars, like between the two mattresses. And I will say the Tempur-Pedic was awesome, but he was definitely trying to get us away from any of the cheaper brands of mattresses. And then like you just see the finance guy in the corner like looking over like, hey man, I can help you out. If you want to get the real bed. So it was kind of funny,
I
but
mean,
we did get
mattresses
the
are built like cars these days.
there's a lot of, I mean, he was telling us all about how like this technology comes straight from NASA. These memory foam Tempur-Pedic beds. Yeah, so it was fun. I learned a lot about mattresses and the makers of mattresses and the preferences. So that was it was a good knowledgeable experience, and I feel like I'm a little more educated consumer now when it comes to buying my mattress. So we're gonna figure it out, and we're gonna land on something. But it was an experience. How
Oh
was
yeah.
your last 2 weeks, Ado?
Well, not nearly as eventful. Yeah, I had a good Thanksgiving. I mean, went to mom's house, got to kick it with my siblings, see my nephew, got some food, bounced. That Sunday ended up going to the Broad with my brother and my sister. So we checked out the Infinity Mirror exhibit. So that was pretty cool. And then we just went up and enjoyed the rest of the artwork, cracking jokes, catching up, taking pictures. So it was good quality sibling time, which we seldom do except for, birthdays and holidays. So it was nice to add a an outlier memory together of hanging out. And we're getting better about that. On the way home that night, I decided to stop off for a drink, got into a nice conversation with a Ukrainian woman who was in between San Diego and Bakersfield, just traveling with her son to go take him to college. So we had a great conversation, got a little political, drinks kept coming. But nothing crazy. It was a good
Was she
time. We were
talking about Stalker too? Or...
She was not talking about Stalker 2, and I was thinking about it the whole time. I was thinking about that the whole time. Like, should I ask her what it's like in the zone? No, Stalker 2. But it was a cool conversation. We were working up to go check out some comedy, but she had her early morning, so we were kicking it. It wasn't, I don't think she was like trying to get it from your boy or anything like that, but it was just a cool interaction, and I'm getting better at not saying no about stuff. So she threw out the idea, was like, yeah, let's fucking go do it. And then I see some comedy, I have a story. It's like, yeah, I mean, this random woman just, what is it, gallivanting through the city.
Next thing you know, we're in the OR room checking out stand-up comedy.
Exactly. Oh man. But yeah, so did that, and same old same, just working, trying to get myself together. I up finally decided to pull the trigger and upgrade my situation on Xbox a little bit. So what the big thing that prevents me from really putting as much time into Xbox as I used to at the outset was like the DualSense Edge on PS5 has ruined me for other controllers. Those back buttons are indispensable and just heighten my ability to play a game effectively and smoothly, since I don't have to take my thumb off the right stick like nearly as often. So that's always been an issue because I've been running just a regular Series X controller. However, Walmart is having a deal, 30% off on Elite Series 2 controllers, so I finally pulled the trigger on that, and that has arrived
Damn.
today, despite
Damn.
Walmart telling me on December 6th that if I order within an hour and 40 minutes that it could be here today. And instead it took 2 more days, and I'm not happy about that kind of shit, even though that isn't like that wasn't a factor in me pulling the trigger on the deal, but it just would have been cool if like that added convenience would have come through. So Walmart, whatever is going on with your supply chain or fulfillment system, get that sorted out. Also, it was a double surprise because I had another package that I almost forgot I ordered. However, just for the longest time, the release date for the Returnal art book, that's been shifting between like September and November, and I guess it's finally out because I'm pretty sure that's what's in the other box. Fingers crossed, maybe it's something else I ordered that I forgot about. But I'm very excited about those things. The Series 2 Elite got my back buttons on my Xbox controller now. That's going to tremendously increase the enjoyment and fulfillment I get out of playing games on Xbox, especially my now two favorite games, Starfield and Stalker 2. So yes, so I'm very happy. I enjoy our time together, but I'm definitely looking forward to when the show is over so I can tear that box open and start setting up my controller the way I like it, figure out which paddles I want to go with, map those buttons, oh, and then just enjoy those games the way that they deserve to be enjoyed. But yeah, that's about it with me.
All right, well, you mentioned the games, A-dubs, so let's just get right into it. What you been playing?
What have I been playing? Well, quite naturally, I've been just neck deep in Stalker 2, man. I can't get enough of that game. The more I come to understand about the Stalker universe, the lore, the mechanics, just the more fulfilling and like the more full the game becomes. And it seems like it's just a massive container for all manner of just opportunity, nuance, and freedom. And this is without the game even having its most major system operational, which is the A Life 2.0. Like I'm trying not to play as much of the game as I can, so I can kind of save that for when the A Life update eventually comes along. However, that just usually consists of me being more granular in my approach, going to all the different question marks and stashes in a smaller area, just really picking stuff clean instead of pushing the main missions and moving the story along. But every time I zoom out on the map, every time I look around, it's like this is a massive game. I don't really understand what's going on or anything. So even if I did push all the way through it, it's not like I'd really spoil too much of it for a second playthrough. Plus, I'm 100% doing a second playthrough. It's oh man, I can't get enough of this game. And I just learned that, like, basically you're going through there, you're looking for better equipment, you're trying to get better armor, you're trying to get your better gas mask, you're trying to get a better pistol, a better rifle, a better shotgun. I didn't know that you could also get better scanners. And like, I've seen a video of one. The one I have now, like, basically, another thing you're doing in the game is you're trying to look for artifacts. And these artifacts are like just mysterious little nuggets of zone weirdness and power that give you different kind of abilities. So they're like accessories that you equip, and most of them come with a benefit or two, as well as a drawback. The drawback typically being some level of radiation that they emit. So if you have it on, you're going to be catching radiation all the time, unless you have sufficient enough defense so that you don't have to worry about that. So like, I have one that has radiation protection medium, and then I have another one that has like, it increases my physical protection, it increases my endurance, so like my stamina, sprinting, you burn stamina when you jump too, so that has made things quite interesting. And yeah, and then the drawback on that one is like weak radiation. So one is protecting me from the other, and the other one is giving me benefits that help me while I'm out in the field doing my thing. So you're looking for those. They tend to occur in areas that are just awash with anomalies, like to the point where you gotta kind of look at the terrain and really listen to your indicator that's telling you where these anomalies are so you can safely like navigate the region. But then on top of that, you pull out this detector, and it emits another tone that gives you an idea of what direction and how close you are to this artifact that you're looking for. Now, when I had the first one, it was just this pulsating light in my hand. So I'm moving around, it's pulsing faster, and then eventually you find the artifact. It pulses as fast as humanly possible. I got a new one now, and it's kind of like the Dragon Radar from Dragon Ball Z, where I like it opens up, it's got a different display. It looks all different, it functions different, and it's dope, man. So it's got this display, and it's basically like a radar, and the closer you get to it, the more it lights up, and then you get a much better idea of where they are. So I'm finding them faster and more easily. They can be sold for a lot of coupons. And those coupons, that's how I buy my upgrades, that's how I fix my equipment. So it's this additional layer that adds to the economy and just the satisfaction I get. Like, I'm looking forward to finding all these different radars. I think there's even one device that can detect anomalies themselves, so you have a visual reference, like a second, not a second mini map, because there's no mini map, but it's basically like a mini map in your hand that's showing you where the anomalies are, so you could just walk and move more swiftly, more safely. So I'm looking forward to getting that stuff. Like, everything I see with Stalker and just the different weapons, the different attachments, the different gear people are getting, the different places and situations that they're getting themselves into, it's just so much possibility. And man, I don't know how they made this game. I don't know how this franchise has gone under my radar for so long, but I'm totally enamored with it. Like, I even had a Fallout 3 moment with it. Like, what happened with Fallout 3 is, like, I rented it from Blockbuster, and fast forward a couple dozen hours, I'm wearing armor from the Talon Company. I'm walking through like a field of dead grass. I see an overturned train car. I get on top of it, pull out my laser rifle. This is the first time I'm trying out a laser rifle. There's a super mutant walking in the distance, and third person, line a shot up, pull the trigger, headshot, body disintegrates. And that was the moment when I was like, oh, this game is going to change my life. And that Christmas, I ended up asking for the collector's edition with the lunchbox and everything. And ever since then, I've just been a Fallout fanboy. With Stalker 2, I forget what the moment was, but like I was just in the middle of a situation, and the way that I was just moving through, like I was doing stealth attacks, coming up behind dudes, hit them with the knife in the chest, just moving through like a ninja. Then it erupts into a firefight, and I'm like, I'm leaning, peeking around corners, popping off headshots, hitting dudes in the chest with the shotgun, and emerged in this seamless sequence unscathed. And it was at that moment I was like, yo, this is something else entirely. So yeah, man, I'm madly in love with Stalker 2. Looking forward to every new patch that might add or expand some functionality. I've also been playing another game that recently came out, a very small thing, but we'll talk about it a little later because there's like an article and stuff, and I want to do like a I want to tell you why it's great. So I don't want to take up too much time at the top of the show. But AMC, what have you been playing?
Couple games, a dub. The first one that I will say I've been playing, Stardew Valley. More of that girlfriend game. They had the 1.6 update. Been on that for a little bit now. Yeah, just the surprises continue with that game. Last time we were playing, we're kind of moving along the map, and there's some bordering areas that you can't access that are more there for just setting. So you'll see like a fence, like a wooden fence. And on the other side of the fence, there'll be trees and plants and stuff like that. And it just really serves as like setting for the town, and you can't access that area. Well, as we're out exploring, moving around, Marissa just happens to know that there's one part of the gate is open, and she thinks, "Ah, let me go check that out." And then she walks through the gate and is able to access that area. And then through that, we search it. We're rummaging through trash, and we find a book, and the book ends up giving us like a stat where when we now when we because you can search through garbage cans in the game, as long as people don't see you. If they see you searching through garbage cans, it takes down your reputation with them, like their fondness of you, I'll say. And but if they're not looking, you can search the trash and occasionally you'll find an item. Well, this book gives you a higher chance of finding a greater chance of finding items when you search through the trash. So that was kind of cool. But just the surprise there being that areas that were normally inaccessible before, there's a possibility that you might be able to access it now and find like a secret. So little things like that where you just wouldn't think to necessarily look for that, they've decided to take more advantage of like the map and really just discoverability within the game. So that's been kind of cool. Another thing that happened was as we were playing, there was this tree that used to kind of just, I think it was just in the game. It was a big ass tree. Once again, one of those things that was slightly off the map, just there in the background that you could maybe just take a photo op with, but you couldn't really interact with the tree at all. It was a unique looking tree, really big, like a redwood. Well, we're walking by and we see this question mark over the tree. So we're like, oh, hey, there's a question mark there. Let's go interact with it. We go interact with it and it tells us, you have a quest line now where you need to bring me 100 hardwood. So we go, we cut that hardwood for a couple of days, and we come back to the tree. We bring the hardwood, and it says, come back the next day. We come back to the tree the next day, and we find out that there's a new resident of that tree. It's turned into like a tree house, and there's a raccoon. The raccoon wants us to bring him. So he's hungry, so he wants some fish and some clams. So we're in the process of getting those fish and those clams just to see what will happen with the raccoon that has taken residence in this big ass tree. It just little things like that that we did not come across when we were reading up on all the updates that were in the game, because there's just so many updates that it was hard to pick up on everything. But knowing that there are so many updates that there's still a lot of secrets that aren't just really openly discussed within the Stardew Valley community is refreshing and really cool, because we're still just always coming across things that we did not expect to see within the game. Stardew Valley 1.6 update, highly recommend it. If you have not, if you played Stardew Valley in the past and we're looking for a reason to jump back in, or haven't played it, it's just that much better. Other than that, also been playing Space Marine 2. Oh, been playing, and I beat it. Put down Space Marine 2. Game was absolutely awesome. Been waiting for that Warhammer game to jump into, and Space Marine 2 was the one that really caught my eye. And when I hopped in, I immediately just was, oh, this is awesome. Great horde third-person shooter. And then as I pushed through the story, just getting me more into that Warhammer 40K lore, and just really took me in, took a break from the game to play Diablo 4 Vessel of Hatred, but jumped back in and didn't lose any of the knowledge that I had built up from playing the game before I hopped off. It all came right back to me, and just pushed forward, got all the way to the ending and beat it, and just loved the story that they told. Very simple game. Like, it was, it felt like a lot of people said it felt like a throwback game for many different reasons, but I would say what really made it feel like a throwback game was that you would have your action, you get to a certain area, you walk up to it. Next thing you know, waves of enemies start coming at you. You're fighting to survive. You beat off the wave, and then it just goes into a cutscene. You watch that cutscene for a
Off
couple minutes.
the
Yeah, ride the wave. And then you go to a cutscene. Cutscene ends. You do some walking, and then you get to the next wave of enemies. You beat them. Cutscene and rinse and repeat. And that was pretty much the entire game. But it was a very fun game. But I would say somewhat simple. For like its gameplay design, but just an overall excellent game to play. I really enjoyed it. Game was a shit. Another thing I would say too, that really something I hadn't done with any other game on the PS5, and something that is, I feel like, somewhat notable of the PS5, because there's always features that are thrown into games and you can use them just a numerous amount of ways. And the thing that I took advantage of in Space Marine 2 was the Was it the save recent gameplay? And
Oh,
I did
that's
that.
a software level feature, or is that you mean
Yeah, so
hardware?
it's a I want to say a software level feature. It's one of those, it's just the share button, and you can share, like you're streaming, but you can also just hit the share thing and it shows save recent gameplay, and you can be like,
Oh, okay.
yeah, and you're just like, I
The
want to watch,
console,
like,
it's yeah, console thing.
yeah, and I want to watch like the last 5 minutes. And so I was using that to actually rewatch a lot of the cutscenes, because there's a lot of action going on in the cutscenes, some of the battles in the cutscenes, and the how they showcase some of the heroes within that game. It was just so awesome. And so I was rewatching a lot of the cutscenes after I would, just take in the story beat and the different angles that they were thrown in to move to the next wave of enemies. I also just wanted to see, just some of the action, and even just pick up on the little things, because Warhammer is just, it's full of lore. So there's a lot of like just little details that they throw in there. And if you're aware of like what's going on, within that world, that little shit just like colors it in that much more. And so yeah, I was just loving rewatching trailer, like cutscenes after after doing stuff. So really like that. In the new game I've been playing, Final Fantasy VII Remake, it was time. I was debating, I was about to jump into Metaphor ReFantazio, but as I said,
Oh.
yeah, and I had that thing where I was just like, I don't know. Like, we were just talking in the pre-show about Baldur's Gate 3, and just there's so much to do. And that's after Persona 5, that's how I look at Metaphor at Atlus games in general, but especially Metaphor ReFantazio. Just Persona 5, just it took a toll on me. And I want to hop back into that world, but I just realized it was too soon for me. And then just staring at me was Final Fantasy VII Remake, and I was like, you know what? I think it's time. I mean, I bought that game, what, like 2 years ago, and just didn't touch it. They put out the PS5 update. And so like it's ready, like tailor-made for me to just take full advantage of the game. So I finally hopped into that, and that was some shit. Like,
That's one hell of a sidestep.
yeah, it's out of control just how good that game looks in comparison, especially in comparison to the original, Final Fantasy VII, but even like just some of the Final Fantasies I've played recently, just getting that full cinematic just polish that you would expect from being able to take full advantage of the PS5, and with that Final Fantasy design that they like just lean into, seeing that with Cloud and Barrett, just like there's so many times where I'm just like, I had to stop, just just to look at the characters, look at the world, look at Shinra, like the reactor, Shinra reactor, all
Yeah.
that stuff. Like just playing through that opening sequence of when you're leading the attack on the reactor. Yeah, it was.
How's the flip off of the train?
It's very like movie, like Marvel movie, like the hero, like he does the flip
Yes.
off and the land and like the with the blade and the what's
Yes.
that that the I don't
The
know if you
Buster
watched it,
Sword.
yeah, with the Buster Sword. What
Or
was
is it
the
the Buster or is it the Bastard?
I want to say it's a Buster Sword when I was looking at the equipment. But there's a scene in it was like the Hawkeye show. Oh, not Hawkeye. It was in Black Widow, and Black Widow's was it the sister, the younger sister, and she's
Yeah.
like, "How come when you land on the ground, you land like this, like with the one arm up and like on a knee," and like she's making fun of like that movie, that superhero trope of like the land, and Cloud did that to perfection when he jumped off the train. Yeah, it was. It was dope as shit. I absolutely loved it. It's definitely more action oriented than what I was expecting when I was going in. Because I know they said it was like it's action, but there's also a little turn base if you want to get that going. But
You're
it's
not
really
using that
action.
classic mode.
You know what? I could try it out because I thought when I was reading the options, it didn't seem like that. But you know what? I will try that out and to see if that's maybe what's going on. Because it made it seem like when you select classic mode, it does the attacks and guarding for you, and then you're able to choose then like the special abilities of the items. And so this is
Yeah.
how that so this is how it works. Like, or at least I'm the mode I'm playing on. You do the attack, so like you'll have like your square, and you'll do your slices. You can charge it up and do like a heavier attack, and then you can
Yes.
guard attacks to drop. To lower the damage, and as you're attacking, you're then building up your action gauge, and then once you get to a certain point, then you can use that gauge to then pause the action, select items, abilities, spells, or even like the limit break if you built it up to that point. So like I and so because of that, I was like, well, if it's gonna be doing the attacking for me, then I might as well just do that rather than just standing and watching them do that. Like, because at least in a turn-based game, I'm selecting two attacks, so it's kind of weird to have it do that for me. So I wasn't really having like I wasn't having that, but I will try it out just to see how it is. What I do like about that system too is so when you're attacking, there's a stagger system that builds up. So as they're taking damage, you'll see that it'll show a pressure status on the enemy, and at that point,
Yes.
you can start doing heavier attacks. And that will then knock them down. And then as they get knocked down, that's when they say to start doing all of your big attacks that you've built up on the action gauge. And so that, yeah, like you'll start doing like your flip attacks and shit like that. So I like that. It has like a good rhythm to the combat. I've only had Cloud and Barrett up to this point. So switching in between them was kind of nice. Like it's what I do like is it's not like VATS, but what it does like a thing with VATS where when you stop the action, it doesn't fully stop the action. It's just the enemies are moving extremely slowly as you're deciding what you're going to do next. So there is like a little bit of motion still to the action as you're deciding, and it puts a little pressure on you to make a choice like a little bit faster than to just take all your time to really like just assess the situation and then finally move. So it's a pretty good action system from what I was expecting into what I got and what I've been working with. So yeah, it's awesome game. Love it. Finally back in Final Fantasy VII. Immediately was like, damn, am I gonna get this Tifa like DLC and play this
Oh,
also?
Yuffie.
The Yuffie one. But I'm gonna we'll see what happens because I think the game is like I think it's supposed to be like 60 or like 80 hours. So it's a pretty lengthy game. So we'll see where I'm at by the time I beat it, and then I might take a break, or I might hop into that and then take a break before Rebirth. But yeah, I am loving Final Fantasy VII Remake, and it was great because it all kind of ties into this 30th anniversary, which I have a story that we'll get into later in the show. But let's take a quick break, A Dub, and we'll get into these topics because I can't
Well,
wait.
one question
Oh yeah,
before
what were
we
you saying?
go. Have you done a limit break?
Yes, I did do one limit break. I did Barrett's limit break. And
Just
it was
dubbing.
yeah, exactly. You just start dubbing. I didn't get to do Clouds yet, because that's the one I want to do. But yeah, I did Barrett's and it was awesome. Barrett's great. Like He has his like, you know, he has his guns, and so you use that like for enemies that are off in a distance. So it they do work that in pretty well. Like if there's close combat going, you want to be Cloud and then like get your melee going. But there's enemies that fly or enemies that like, you know, stay off screen, then you switch over to Barret and then he's hitting them with that gun arm. So there is like a good there's a lot of strategy to the combat. Like it doesn't feel like I'm just kind of button mashing until I can get my limit break going as far as like the action RPG side of it. But yeah, did my first limit break and that was and like, you know, they got like that little kind of cutscene-ish thing going on as you're getting it. So it has all the flair of like a Final Fantasy game that you would want, but feels very modern, which is something that I do appreciate about this game.
Oh, they do the different camera angle cuts while you're powering it up.
Yeah, exactly. Like it goes like the like it starts like the camera starts moving and like they talk their shit as they're about to do the attack. It's awesome. It's
Oh
great.
man, this wait for all three parts is excruciating.
Yeah, it's gonna be so good.
All right.
Yeah, but let's take a break and then we'll get into these topics, A-Dub.
Topics, hey,
Thank
dude.
you. All right, we are back, A-Dub, with our first topic of the week.
Topic
Top
of
topic of
the
the
week.
week. What you got,
Let's see.
A-Dub?
I think we just get right into the nitty of the grit. It's a story that I believe in. Did we miss it last? Yeah, we did miss it last week. PS Plus for December. We got confirmation. So, you know, just a brief little run through here in the PlayStation blog. It is said that we're getting It Takes Two, Temtem, and Aliens Dark Descent. Sent. Yeah, so those have been available since December 3rd. They will be available till January 6th. It Takes Two, what, Game Award winning or just award winning co-op girlfriend game, cozy game. And we got Aliens
S
Darkness,
tier.
S tier, God tier.
I got you.
Then we got Aliens Dark Descent, which honestly, it's probably the first alien game I've ever seen that appeals directly to me and my preferences. How I get down with games. It looks absolutely awesome. Looks like it captures the feel of Aliens, and you just can't go wrong with that kind of feel, man. It's a classic sci-fi film. And it looks like they captured that essence. I haven't played it yet. I think Grimes might have been playing it, which surprised the hell out of me. I know he was playing some Aliens game, and this was before it was on PS Plus. I think he like bought it. So
Oh, nice.
that should tell you something. And then Temtem, I think that's what was that the game where you play the thing with the camera and you're trying to, oh no, I'm thinking the black and white game. Temtem is in color and full 3D. So this
Let's
looks.
see. I saw Temtem and I was like, the other two games are great. I'm overlooking Temtem. It looked like was it kind of like a Pokemon style game?
Yeah,
What do
Pokemon
you mean
style MMO. So you're monster catching and doing all that. I haven't seen too
by
much of it, and obviously.
are they gonna catch a case from
Hey, hey. If that's the
the
precedent we're setting where
Pokemon company?
it's throwing a thing and catching a monster, if that's the precedent, a lot of people got to get brought to justice. Damn. But yeah, so those three games are available. I will more than likely check out Aliens Dark Descent. That looks, like I said, it looks like an A-Dub coded game. Looks like it's right up my alleyway. So I'll be doing that. It Takes Two. Can you play It Takes Two solo?
Yeah, you can play it solo.
Okay,
I'm pretty sure you can play it solo. I'll say that much.
so
All
I
right, what do
might
you got?
not play Aliens. If I can play It Takes Two solo, then I think that'll be my PS Plus nut for the month. And then I go back to my backlog. AMC, how do you feel about this lineup? Is this what you've been asking for?
This is, well, not what I've been asking for, but I'm always asking for a good lineup. And you know, as I said, if there's one game in a lineup that's good, then I consider it a victory for the monthly offering. And this one has two great games. I already have mixed taste too. So, you know, if I was of the community, I would say, terrible. I already bought this game. Why would I Why would they give me a game I already bought? They already know everybody owns this game. So why would they give this game away for free? But no, I'm happy that people get a chance to play It Takes Two. It's one of those games, like, once again, I always bring up with the game awards, there'll be a game that I completely overlooked. And then they'll be like, oh, up for game of the year. And I'm like, what, really? Oh, shit. Let me look at that. And then I'll start hearing about it. And I'm like, damn, I re really need to play that game. And then it meets all the expectations. In the past, I'd mentioned what Doom, Hades. And then It Takes Two was also one of those games where I had overlooked It Takes Two. I saw it up for game of the year at the Game Awards. And I was like, holy shit, let me look up this game. And then I'm looking at it and I'm like, oh, this is a potential girlfriend game. Marissa was down. We start playing it and we go through that journey. It kind of reminded me of Yarny. Both games
Yes,
just,
I forgot about you already.
I want to say both were EA originals. Don't quote me on that. And both ended up being great girlfriend games. And I really love It Takes Two. Alien Dark Descent, when I saw the monthly offering, I saw Alien Dark Descent. And since I already had It Takes Two, I was like, well, let me check out this Aliens game just so I can add another game to my library. And when I immediately just saw the gameplay, I was like, holy shit, this game looks awesome. And a couple of shows I listened to talked about how good the game was, and I immediately added that to my library. I don't know if I'll get to it, but it has the look, it has the gameplay of everything that I would love from an Alien style game. Like, especially because I loved Aliens 2, which was centered around the Marines. And so you had, like, you go for one movie where it's like an alien taking out like an entire spaceship by itself versus like another one where it's just hordes of aliens and a group of Marines just firing, shooting them down. And so like felt like a little more like an action movie. And I really loved Aliens 2, or maybe it was called Aliens. And
It was
so
Aliens, yeah, because it was Alien, then Aliens, and then Alien 3.
There you go. Yeah, and so Aliens was awesome. And so this one seems to be taking paying homage to that. And yeah, that was a great movie to pull from. And so this game is definitely on my radar as something to potentially play. But as we talk about, there's so many damn games to play. Overall, what'd you think of this month?
It's pretty solid. You got an award-winning, got an award-winning title, EA original. You got Aliens Dark Descent. You got tipped. Like Aliens, I imagine that part of the reception may have been it just, being buggy or things are unbalanced or stuff at the outset. I was taking a peek at the video review over on IGN. And yeah, it seemed like there were like bugs and things, like perhaps you get locked into something or you get locked out of something, or it was strange, like the stress meter getting stuck at maximum and forcing them to have to extract out of a mission before completing more objectives, like all that kind of stuff. So, I hope that the developer has cleared that up over time. I don't know how long ago Dark Descent came out, but you figure if it's on PS Plus, it's probably been several months and hopefully the issues are ironed out and it's a better experience for people who are going to be diving in because of these offerings, myself possibly included. And looking forward to it, man. This is a good lineup and I'm really fingers crossed for It Takes Two being able to be played solo.
All right, you got anything else before we move on to the next topic, Ada?
Nah, it's all yours, AMC.
All right, this
Next
one's kind
topic
of
of
a
the week.
topic of the week. This one was kind of a quick hit and a pleasant surprise when I was opening up my PlayStation. Saw I had an update, so I updated it. Next thing you know, I see. So this is by way of The Verge. Sony brings back original PlayStation boot screen with PS5 anniversary update date. For a limited time, players can customize their PS5 UI using themes throughout PlayStation's past. Choose a theme from any of the four previous PlayStation consoles and a special 30th anniversary theme. Yeah, this was a pleasant surprise as I booting up my PlayStation, and it's like, hey, you got some options. And people have been asking for like different themes based on in the past years. We had been able to control what was going on our, we'll just say, what, wallpaper in the back of the on the
On our
previous
home
PlayStation,
pages.
yeah, on our homepage. And they took that away, and it was a little like of a letdown, but I've gotten used to the PlayStation 5 one. They've added widgets now and stuff like that to kind of like shine it up and give you a little more customization with it. But this one really gives a whole different feel because it's leaning into the history of PlayStation. So I went with the 30th anniversary original. And it's still, I believe it still gave that original boot up screen for the PlayStation with the I don't know how to describe it. But yeah, did
You're pretty
that. It,
close.
yeah, it what was great though is the reason why this story really hit home for me was so I had selected that and then I like shut down my PlayStation and I had some free time and I was
Oh
like,
man.
I'm gonna play. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna play Final Fantasy VII Remake. Load up my PlayStation.
Oh.
It's that original PlayStation boot screen with the sound and the music. And I was like, oh, you did. That didn't just sync up like that. So then I go right into Final Fantasy Remake, and obviously, like you did the music for the Final Fantasy. And I was just like, oh my God, this is all now just taking me right back to like getting my first PlayStation. Because I got my first PlayStation for Final Fantasy VII. That's what made me jump over that. And I got Metal Gear Solid
I
on the
would
same
have
day.
melted down into my inner child just instantaneously.
Yeah, it gave me all the feels. I was not expecting it, and the way that synced up like just so perfectly, it made the wait worth it for the to play Final Fantasy VII Remake that much more. Yeah, it was great. Did you play around with this? Did you choose any of the themes? What did you go with, or did you stick to the PS5?
Yeah, I played around with it. Unfortunately, I had the surprise spoiled for me because I saw it online. Like, oh shit, they really did that. And then, but still, nothing can really dull the effect of seeing that original PlayStation boot up screen all over again, just with that sparkling, glimmering tone. Oh man, it took me back. I like most of the themes. I don't like that they put the theme-oriented like banner or graphic along the top of the screen because it cuts into the viewing space of the actual game backgrounds.
Yeah, like I was blown up like Space Marine 2 or something, and it cut off like the character's head like completely.
Yeah.
And, like, I was just like, oh, this is totally not made to like fit the screen at all.
And who knows, maybe they did it on purpose so they'll get the criticism
Get
and be
rid
like,
of
oh yeah.
it. Yeah, because it is
Which
for a limited time only.
yeah, that's the one drawback. However, I feel like if there is enough demand and if people make use of it, like it's not so much just get online and make your voice heard. It's also go into the settings, pick your favorite theme, and stick with it. Like show them that there's staying power for this and this kind of functionality. And maybe we'll get it improved. Maybe it'll stay around permanently. Maybe we'll get actual themes to come back to the console space. In the Sony ecosystem. But none of that happens unless you send that message. So I selected that PS3 theme and I've been rocking it for a while, also sending the message like, hey, PS3, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So yeah, rocking that. I mean, it was what got me was the sound effects of the different themes. Just like the idea that you could condense eras down to just single little minute tones when you're swapping between games. Like, wait, this, oh, that feel a little too old. Ah, that's right. There we go. Some of them are ticks, some of them are like tones and things like that. And it's, man, just so much nostalgia. So great. It was cool. It felt good. I'm all about it. I hope they make it permanent. That would be awesome. And yeah, that's how I feel.
All right, well, you want to jump into that next topic of the week?
Topic of the
The
week.
week.
So, in the spirit of Sony celebrating their 30th anniversary, they also prepared another surprise for us that came out on December 6th. So, if you're hearing this now for the first time, you have access, go get it, go enjoy it. Sony and Polypony Digital announced My First Gran Turismo. Oh, So let me just hit you with a paragraph from the PS blog. As we celebrate PlayStation's 30th anniversary, I'm thrilled to introduce my first Gran Turismo, a special free-to-play invitation to dive into the exhilarating world of motorsports. This experience holds a special place in my heart as it pays tribute to the origins of the first Gran Turismo, where players of all generations discovered the joys of driving. Whether it's introducing kids to the joy of racing for the first time or reigniting a forgotten passion for driving, my first Gran Turismo was designed to be both approachable and immersive, created for everyone with no limits on age or driving skill level. So yeah, this is out. I downloaded it as soon as it was ready because I'm a Gran Turismo fan. If I can get myself another hit, a Gran Turismo, then that's what I'm all about. And I gotta say, man, it's a very small application, about 15 gigs, and it's just got a decent little vertical slice, a nice smattering, one might say, of Gran Turismo content. I mean, there's a bunch of license tests. You got a handful of music rally challenges where you're trying to get around the track and cover as much distance as possible before you run out of beats in a given song. It's got time trials. It allows you to do practice runs, and the whole time you're getting that Gran Turismo style presentation and celebration of automobiles as well as their history. You're unlocking cars and you're just doing different things. It's a nice way to get your toes wet in the experience. I mean, I played it for about a half an hour and I completed close to about 33%. I think I got a little over 30% of the total achievements that are obtainable in the game. I don't know if you can get trophies. I didn't see anything like that. But you know, I got a few licenses, got all golds. I did all of the music rally challenges. And then, you know, I'm just digging in it. Got to get more licenses. Got to go do the races. It looks like it has. So you can do a bunch of those as well. And yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back in it. It's Gran Turismo, but without like all the overwhelming amount of content and the nitty-gritty features. So you're not worrying about tuning or anything, at least not from what I've experienced so far. It's just, you know, pick a car. Go do what you got to do. So, I would recommend this to anybody if you've ever been curious about Gran Turismo or if you just want to see if car games are your thing. AMC, is this going to apply to you?
No, not necessarily. I'm not that interested in playing a Gran Turismo. Like when I played him in the past, like I've always leaned towards the more, was it arcadey style of racing game where I just brake and like the car would just like do exactly what I needed to do, like as opposed to like taking into account the weight and like the feel of the track and the tires and the traction and
Ah, that's where it is, AFC. That's
yeah.
where God is, AFC.
Yeah, so like that's not never been like really my style of racer, but I do like that they are making it accessible, especially for audiences that might feel a little like hesitant to drop that cash to really test out that style of game and might just settle for like a Forza Horizon. Like this is a way to get them to try it out, get a feel for it, and then next thing you know, they're trying to do them licenses, and they're like, ah, I could beat that. Next, like they're getting deep into it, and they're like, you know what? I should just get this game. And then next thing you know, they're on the YouTube page for PlayStation, racing against people internationally, trying to win races. So yeah, it's a way to like foster the community, like build up the community and get people in. And I'm definitely all for like these kind of slice of was a slice of life or whatever, like to get a feel for what it is that you might be missing out on and get you to kind of drop your guard a little bit. So yeah, I think it's a cool choice, somewhat innovative way to kind of access this group of people and to broaden your horizons when it comes to the player base of racing gamers. All right, keep it moving, A-Dub.
You got our next topic, AMC.
Next topic of the week. Topic of the week. All right, this one, this is lengthy. I'm going to skip around this story. But yeah, this is coming straight from Larian for Baldur's Gate 3. This is on their community page on Steam. They have announced photo mode, crossplay, and 12 subclasses coming next year Well, Baldur's Gate 3. So looking forward to that. Let's see what they have. Like an aged mentor in an aspiring 1980s film montage, we're filled with pride seeing all of the mods you've been crafting and using since the release of the official mod tools in September. Yeah, they're bragging about what they got going on right now. In just under 3 months, you've uploaded more than 3,000 mods to the mod community support, and we're out here at A-Dub PC gaming for life, making the game better because the developers couldn't, doing what you couldn't. Yeah. But before we bid, how was it, Faerûn adieu in search of stranger shores, we have one more major patch waiting around the corner. Arriving next year, this update will introduce some of the most eagerly awaited features in Baldur's Gate 3. As I mentioned before, crossplay, photo mode, and 12 new subclasses. Whether you're joining PS5 players from your PC or jumping into a game with Mac users from your Xbox, all over the place. Baldur's Gate 3, even on your Series S, maybe. Baldur's Gate 3 multiplayer will soon feature full cross-platform progression, including crossplay. Patch 8 will introduce a new way to play your favorite class, adding one new subclass for each of the existing bard, barbarian, cleric, druid, paladin, fighter, monk, ranger, rogue, sorcerer, warlock, and wizard classes in the game. So many classes. So many classes. I'm gonna read them off. I'll do a description on the ones that sound interesting. For the bard, you got the College of Glamour. As a College of Glamour bard, yeah. what is that, an esthetician? You'll find your way
Microblade.
exactly, threaten. You'll find you have the power to heal friends and command enemies in equal measure. The barbarian, you got the path of the giants. Opt for the path of the giants, and you'll have your newfound giant strength. It will make it easier for you to yeet friend and foe alike, just yeeting on everybody.
Yeet.
Cleric, you got the death domain. You got a death cleric? As a cleric of death, you'll find a few dark new tricks up your sleeves, from spells that specialize in necrotic damage, hell yeah, to three new necromancy cantrips, hell yeah, bringing in that necromancer. Let's see, druid, you got the Circle of Stars. I'm gonna skip that. Paladin, we got the Oath of the Crown. Skip that one. Let's see, fighter, we got the Arcane Archer, mastering dual arts of magic and marksmanship. The Arcane Archer subclass offers unique skills on top of new shooting animations. Oh yeah, they mentioned that along with like
What?
the new skills, there's gonna be all new animations added to the characters on top of
Oh,
that.
Jesus.
Yeah, they're stepping it up.
Yeah,
The
I'm gonna come
monk.
back. I'm gonna come back after patching.
Yes. The monk class, you got the drunken master. Putting the brew in homebrew as the drunken master. You have the ability to consume alcohol straight from your inventory, as well as drink your bottles you see around the Sword Coast in order to recover ki. Interesting. I'm hoping that they also add skills along with that with the drunken. Maybe like the animation is you're stumbling
Monk
around.
skills, rock skills.
That'd be great if the Drunken Master was the only character that could move around while it's like stopped in the turn base. He just operates on his own wavelength. Let's see, Ranger, you got
I'm
the
just
Swarm
thinking, I'm
Keeper.
excited to see those. I'm sorry for interrupting, but
Oh
I'm
no,
just
yeah, keep it going.
kind of losing my mind just thinking about the different archer animations because I mean. Of course, I chose an archer as my character, and like as cool as it is when my turn hits, because you know I get the two attacks, and then I have all my different kinds of arrows, and then I have my
Yes.
arrow skills, and then I still have my scrolls, and then I still got my mace and my shield as my secondary in case I gotta slap a bitch for getting too close to me, and just moving to the high ground, and everything is within my reaches. Oh man. But yeah, it's like you always had the same. I don't know how many animations there are for the shooting, but there's like maybe one or two. Maybe I could be way off base, but I feel like I've only ever seen the same one or two animations most of the time. So if I'm just out there styling on them, it's just like twisting, standing, crouching. Like hitting them with the penitentiary poses, launching arrows. Oh man, I can't wait. I'm so pumped. But continue, sir. I'll be quiet.
That's great. Ranger, you got the Swarm Keeper. The Swarm Keeper subclass provides rangers with three kinds of deadly swarms to assist them in combat. I hope that means you got like bees and shit, locusts maybe, that are rolling with you. Let's see,
Rolling
rogue.
with you.
Yeah, just chilling.
What was his name in Naruto, the bug guy? He was like
Oh,
Shino.
yeah, come out the sleeves. Oh, dude, yeah, they made that class. Oh, that is great. Let's see, rogue, you got the swashbuckler. The rogue subclass introduces a range of new actions fit for the piratical life. Sorcerer, you got the shadow magic. As a shadow magic sorcerer, you deal in a form of magic that makes you deadliest in darkness. All right. Oh, this is kind of cool. Warlock Hexblade warlocks make a pact with an entity of the Shadowfell that manifests in the form of magical weapons. And Wizard Blade Singing, the Blade Singing subclass merges swordplay with wizardry.
There we
And
go.
yeah, so that's all of them. A dub. So I think you already answered my question, but A dub, is this something that might pull you in to Baldur's Gate 3
I'm
next
back.
year?
I'm back. Please, did they give us any kind of window for this update?
Nah, they said that they're going to start stress testing it in January. And
Okay.
so who knows what that means after they've tested it out and how they're going to roll it out, even if they're going to do it all at once. It seems like they're going to do it all at once since they're doing that crossplay. But yeah, I don't know if they would do it on PC first and then eventually port it over. But yeah, they said console, they're going to do not console, they're going to do January for the test, and then they'll roll it out after that.
Okay, so maybe like a Q1 thing if we're lucky.
Yeah. So I had been sitting on the fence with Baldur's Gate, not sitting on the fence, but same thing as you were mentioning so much. It's a lot. It's,
It's
you
so
got your
much.
relationships, you got the different just paths you can go as far as like how you deal with people and how you decide to go about things and all the different endings, possibilities that can come out of that game. And so I knew that it would just be a lot to play Baldur's Gate 3, much like as I mentioned with the metaphor personas. And so yeah, I've been holding off because Divinity took like everything out of me when I beat that game. But seeing all this, I feel like it's one of those things, like when I see like, oh, the big patch is coming, I always feel like that's a good time to hop in because they've just taken the time to really flesh out the game and now they're just expanding on it in another way. So by the time you hop in, there's just an abundance of just stuff to just deal with. So yeah, this is everything I needed to hear to pull me right back into Baldur's Gate, or to pull me into Baldur's Gate 3.
I mean, it was overwhelming to the extent that like it's so many systems and so many locations and so many options and so many status effects and so many items and so many decisions and so many people. And like, dude, I spent 100 hours in Act One. And then with all of that, just keeping my mental bandwidth completely occupied and maxed out at all times, I was still having these creeping thoughts about a second character. Like, oh, I want to do this and I want to do this and I want to, like, it was I would have just passed out from mental exhaustion. I had to stop playing that game. But with patch 8, yeah, I'll be back. So hopefully we'll be playing around the same time. Maybe you'll catch up to me.
I'll get that crossplay
Get
going.
that girl, dude. Oh man, can we do a same campaign? Can we do the
That,
multiplayer? I think we can.
Yeah.
Well, let's keep it as an idea. Stream it. Make an event out of it.
It'd be like our D&D sessions. We just hop back in every now and
Yeah.
then.
The characters I would make. But yeah, man, Baldur's Gate 3, I can't say enough about it. I like if you want a shining example of what a video game could be on every level, Baldur's Gate 3, you will never go wrong.
All right, let's take a quick break, A dub, and then we'll hop in. We're gonna do this topic, and then I'm gonna have to hop out. We are back, A-Dub. You want to hit
Yes,
us with this topic of
y'all.
the week?
Topic of the week, y'all. In continuing with Sony news, we got an unfortunate one. It's not sad. It's just unfortunate. PlayStation veteran Shuhei Yoshida retiring from Sony in January. Yes, let me get a quote from the man telling you exactly what's going on and why. I've been with PlayStation from the beginning, and this is my 31st year with PlayStation. And when I hit 30 years, I was thinking, it may be about time for me to move on. The company's been doing great. I love PS5. I love the games that are coming out on this platform. And we have new generations of management who I respect and admire. And I'm so excited for the future of PlayStation. So, I mean, my man, he's been there, he done that. He's been a massively influential force in the perception of the PlayStation brand, as well as the contents of its library over several console generations. I'm always extremely excited to hear news about him and what he's doing. Like, this isn't a retirement from the industry, it's just a retirement from his tenure at Sony. So there's still more left for him to do. It'll be very interesting to see where he plans to do that and to what capacity. AMC, are you crestfallen because of this news?
Not too sad, 'cause I honestly hadn't been hearing a lot about his name in the day to day, so I'm actually more happy because maybe he'll go to a place where he can be in a more prominent position and be a little more out there if he wants to be kind of be a little more public, 'cause that's kind of the Shuhei that I remembered, like where he was just all over the place, especially like when he was kind of heading up the indie portion of PlayStation, and is just
Specifically, yeah, how was huge for me.
he's just thriving, and the indie scene was just thriving, and he was like really just happy, championing that and just doing a great job of it. And so yeah, that was like really like my real introduction to Shuhei and kind of the impact that I remember. And so the way things have been going, you're not like there's just so many games, and there's still like indies coming to PlayStation, stuff like that. But indies were really making their mark at that time, and they made a point to really bolster their offering by also showcasing a lot of these indie games. Because indie at that time, it seemed like indie was kind of a PC thing, and then they really made it a thing for console. Between that and was it maybe Xbox Arcade. And so that's the biggest thing, and I'm hoping that now as Shuhei moves on, you can go and make his impact somewhere else and build up whatever that is, like whether it's another console or just like another publisher or developer, who knows. But yeah, it's he'll be missed. But yeah, I don't have much more to say other than that. What about you, A-Dub? How do you feel about the loss of
I
Shuhei at
mean,
PlayStation?
under his tenure, he greenlit some of the best exclusives that the console has seen. He's also just been such a major force in the indie space, even when people didn't even have the humility to admit that indie games were actual games. He was out there just cultivating some of the best stuff around, and just a lot of great decisions were made under his watch, and it helped to shape the positive perception and the overwhelming brand loyalty that the Sony imprint enjoys today still. So, sad to see him go, but it's going to be interesting to see where Sony goes from here. By all means, they have an excellent foundation. They have a lot of things in place that are just propping them up and keeping them tight. So hopefully they continue to build on the legacy of those that came before him. It's going to be glorious to watch. So, yeah, man, it's been quite the anniversary celebration for PlayStation. So, whoever gets Shuhei and whatever they get him doing, they hit the jackpot because he's going to knock that shit out the park. I mean, this, if some off chance he went to Microsoft, Like, that's what Sony needs to fear. They better have quite a non-compete clause on that dude. But I mean, he could go anywhere and he'll make that place a competitor in whatever aspect of the industry that they function within. If it's a studio, he'll make them a known, probably award-winning, notable studio. If it's a publisher, he's going to bolster that portfolio with amazing content, and you'll feel the effects not only of his departure but of his enrollment somewhere else. So I'm looking forward to seeing what's next for the man.
You have anything else, A-Dub?
Let me see what I got. Troll of the week. Troll of the week. Troll of the week. Troll of the
The
week. Surprisingly, I mean, maybe it's the holidays. Maybe it's starting to get a little chilly and the trolls are hibernating, but I'm not seeing a lot of trolling these days. I
are
don't know
people
what's going
thankful?
on.
People feeling the gratitude from Thanksgiving?
Is this console generation finally good?
Yeah,
Like,
yeah.
or have they finally taken the hint that whatever's going on in the industry that they disagree with so much is not for them, so they finally just went away. I don't know. But we got a couple little stragglers here. We had to just a couple of stragglers. Let's see what he's saying about Shuhei. Says he's like, what? He's like, Sony's done. I'm out.
I'm out.
And then the second troll, this is a short troll of the week. His tenure as president ended in 2019, and all of the terrible things about Sony followed soon after. So nobody was hating on Sony before PlayStation 5 came out. Nobody was talking shit at all. Oh, they was it Shuhei the guy who said you should get two jobs if you want to get a PS3? And people did not like that at all. PS3 had a rough start, but eventually the ship got righted as more exclusives came out, as the price came down, as Sony realized that people just love their franchises. And things just kept getting better. PS4 ended up being very, very developer friendly. And we cannot forget the endless complaints of the age-old indie station. Whenever Sony would announce a new indie game instead of a first party exclusive or a real game. So, I'm glad people look back on Shu's time fondly, but it's interesting how people forget how nasty they were. Yeah.
revisionist
People real quick to forget how nasty they were in the moment, but we here at Control Issues ain't letting you get away with that shit. So, AMC, you got anything else to add?
No, I mean, I love my PlayStation 5. I said it. Even if I haven't bought a ton of first party games, it's because the third party offering is just that fire that I don't have to necessarily just settle for whatever PlayStation's just offering, because there's always something good coming out, and I have my options aplenty. I am playing Final Fantasy VII Remake. I don't know if that came out before Shuhei left. But I know Rebirth did. People like that, so it seems like as we've said in the past, they don't always leave when it's a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
Reggie left when the Switch was out and things were going smoothly. Shuhei maybe sees that, they're just the overwhelming leader in the console space as far as consoles sold, and he's like, this is a good place to step off and let Todoroki and your boy, was it Herm?
Todoroki.
With his ice and his fire.
Oh, and his abusive father.
And his forgotten brother.
Oh, kid.
It's I think that's I would like to believe that. I don't think this is a Jim Ryan they forced him out situation. I think he felt like it was his time. He had been collecting enough checks and it was time to get the hell out of there. So yeah, it's I don't know what these people are saying. PlayStation's PlayStation is in full control of the console space right now. So I feel like there's nothing really to run away from if you're working on that side of the field. So yeah, I don't know what this troll was talking about, but they can go read a book or something,
Mean,
educate
what
themselves.
Jim Ryan was 20 years, Shuhei 30 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Starting to see some similarities there, but Shuhei didn't have to deal with the circumstances that Jim did. However, that's neither here nor there, and neither are these trolls. Troll of the
Troll of
week,
the week,
troll of the
troll of the
week,
week,
troll of the
troll of the
week,
week,
troll of the
troll of the
week,
week,
troll of the week, week,
week,
week,
week,
week,
week,
week,
week,
week,
week,
week,
week, week, week, week.
week, 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 week.
All right, A-Dub, do you have any final words before we get out of here?
The weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. Get a lineup of your cozy games, or just get ready. Take some time off if you're not getting a break. And just settle in and get ready to feel overwhelmed with holiday cheer and good tidings, and be kind to your fellow man and enjoy the greatness of gaming. AMC.
Only thing I would say, one last thing, is that I found out I had PlayStation points expiring at the end of the month. I don't think they expire on the
Oh, I need to
year.
check that.
Yeah, but I was like, oh shit. And so I quickly got a $10 gift card, so I got them credits on my PlayStation store. So be sure to stay on top of that. Make sure none of your points expire. They do email you and give you notice, but if you're not checking that shit, you might lose some
Yeah,
points.
I'm
That's
not
pretty
checking my
funny.
emails.
Yeah. So yeah, just stay on top of that, because that's free money out there. So that's all I got. A Dub, this is Control Issues. I am the AMC.
Control.
Thanks for playing.
Sucker.